Can you help me understand if Aaron's rod and the jar of manna were in the Ark of the Covenant?
All right. So originally, Martin, the Ark of the Covenant contained the tables of stone. That's what they contained, the law of God. The condemnation of the law was shielded by the mercy seat.
Mm-hmm.
Why was the pot of manna placed in the ark, and why was Aaron's rod placed in the ark? Now, both of them are symbols of the priestly ministry. The manna is a symbol of the word that came down and became flesh. That's why Jesus said, you must eat and drink the body and the blood of Christ. So basically, the manna is a symbol of Jesus Christ, the living word. And Aaron's rod that budded is a fascinating story, because there were claims that others should be the priest and not just Aaron. And so the question was settled by them putting their rods down, and the other rods never budded.
Mm.
But Aaron's rod not only budded, it produced flowers and fruit. That's very interesting. And it was placed inside the Ark of the Covenant as a reminder of an eternal priesthood pointing to Christ. Mm. So the Ark of the Covenant essentially was to contain the law, but these two other symbols were added, the pot of manna, and this pot of manna never went rotten.
Yeah.
Manna only lasted for one day, except on the Sabbath day. It was collected on the Friday. It lasted throughout the Sabbath. If any other day that was attempted, worms would come into it.
Mm.
But not there. So this was a symbol of the eternal word that would always be there to feed humanity in a spiritual sense. Mm. So it's fitting that they were in the Ark of the Covenant, but they were not always retained there, as far as my understanding goes. All right, so let's read 1 Kings 8, verse 9. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. So that was the original position. The Ark of the Covenant contained the law of God, which is a transcript of the character of God. Mm. It was holy. It had to be treated in a very specific way. Anybody just opened that lid, they would be dead instantly, as in the
even
case
if they
of Uzzah.
Touched the...
Even if they just touched it, like straightening it out when the oxen stumbled. They had no right to put it on a cart because that was not according to the instruction of God. But of course, the Philistines weren't punished because they had no such knowledge. So God overlooked their ignorance. But he did not overlook the ignorance when it came to the Israelites. So later when we read in Hebrews 9 verse 4, and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. That was all placed within the Ark.
Within, yeah.
And as we have stated, it is fitting because it refers to the character of God. He is the living word. Jesus Christ is the living word. And he is the eternal high priest.
That's it.
That brings forth the fruits of righteousness. So where is the ark? We don't know where it is. It is secluded. It was hidden before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. So the temple after that was devoid of this piece of furniture.
Mm.
But it doesn't get rid of the symbolism.
No. So some people, and this person also mentions it here, might have thought by the statement in Hebrews that it was meant that these items were in the most holy place and not within the ark. But I'm sure out of this reading that we've just done, we're in the golden pot and manna.
They were within the ark, yes. Now, the earthly, of course, was a copy of the heavenly. So here's a statement in early writings which might clarify the issue. Jesus stood by the ark, and as the saints' prayers came up to him, the incense in the censer would smoke. And he would offer up their prayers with the smoke of the incense to his Father. This is now at the golden altar of incense.
Yes, and this is now happening in heaven.
Yes. And the golden altar was in the holy. Mm-hmm. But the smoke ascended over the curtain onto the Ark of the Covenant. In the ark was the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of stone which folded together like a book. Jesus opened them and saw the Ten Commandments written on them with the finger of God. On one table were four, and on the other six. The four on the first table shone brighter than the other six. Now, there's been a lot of criticism over this statement. But obviously, it must be so because the first four refer to God. Mm-hmm. And that must be brighter than the ones that refer to humanity, right? The four on the first table shone brighter than the other six, but the fourth, the Sabbath commandment, shone above them all. Now that one again mm-hmm. is criticized like crazy, that statement, but let's just look at the logic. The first commandment is a statement of fact.
Yeah.
I am the Lord your God. I'm the one who took you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods besides me. It's a statement of fact. It's also a very specific deity that is identified, mm-hmm. the one that took the Israelites out of Egypt. It leaves no room for other deities. Therefore, ecumenism cannot work because you are not dealing with this particular deity in many other cases, right? The second commandment has to do with how you worship him, not through idolatry, because you cannot represent him by things made of wood and stone. You can only see his character by your association with him. So it is a command determining your mode of worship, right?
Yes.
The third one has to do with reverence.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach this deity?
Not blaspheming his name.
Not using his name in vain. Not misrepresenting him.
Mm-hmm.
Not misrepresenting his character. You can't call yourself a Christian and then misrepresent his character in that form. The fourth commandment deals with the acknowledgement of his absolute authority.
Mm-hmm.
So the fourth one is the one that gives validity to the entire law because he commands it, because he is the creator, he's the king of the universe, and he calls it his sign, his symbol of authority. Now, obviously, a law can only be validated mm-hmm. if it has authority behind it.
That's a good point, because if you've got me writing a law for the country, will anybody listen to me?
I don't think so.
But if the president of the country does it,
he has authority behind him. He can actually enforce it, mm-hmm. right? Same with God. He will enforce it. So the fourth one, giving authority to the entire law, must shine brighter than the rest. Because if you had signed it, it wouldn't be brighter.
Yeah.
Even if the president of the United States signed it, it wouldn't give it more authority. God signed it.
That's it.
Okay.
And it also puts it in sequence. Once you do the fourth, you will do the other three of the first table. And once you've got this relationship sorted out, the other six will follow in sequence automatically.
Once you accept the authority, all the others become axiomatic.
It has to be.
It has to be that way. So the Holy Sabbath looked glorious. A halo of glory was all around it. I saw that the Sabbath commandment was not nailed to the cross. If it was, the other 9 commandments were, and we are at liberty to break them all, as well as to break the 4th. I saw that God had not changed the Sabbath, for he never changes. But the Pope had changed it from the 7th to the first day of the week, for he was to change times and laws. That's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. I think I can concur with every single statement in this quote.
I think this also makes it clear that Aaron's rod and the pot of manna
were
inside of the ark.